tiraskrita vipralabdha, shaptakshipta hatha api, nasyatat pratikurvanti, tad bhakta prabhavopihi.
He certainly.
The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Rishi Samik also knew that the Lord does not forgive a person who has committed an offense at the feet of a devotee. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of the devotee. He thought within himself that if Maharaj Parikshit would counter-curse the boy, he might be saved. But he knew also that a pure devotee is callous about worldly advantages or reverses. As such, the devotees are never inclined to counteract personal defamation, curses, negligence, etc. As far as such things are concerned in personal affairs, the devotees do not care for them. But in the case of their being performed against the Lord and His devotees, then the devotees take very strong action. It was a personal affair, and therefore Shamigrishi knew that the king would not take counteraction. Thus there was no alternative than to place an appeal to the Lord for the immature boy. It is not that only the Brahmins are powerful enough to award curses or blessings upon the subordinates. The devotees of the Lord, even though he may not be a Brahmin, is more powerful than a Brahmin. But a powerful devotee never misuses the power for personal benefit. Whatever power the devotee may have is always utilized in service toward the Lord's and His devotees only. This morning we are reading from First Canto, Chapter 18, entitled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmin Boy, Text Number 48. The Supreme Lord can fulfill many purposes through a single incident. In this chapter, we find how the Lord is fulfilling things that appear to be completely contradictory to each other. But how the Lord could bring opposites together for the highest good. In this Brahmin cursing Maharaj Parikshit, the Lord is facilitating the beginning of Kali Yuga, the age of irreligion, of quarrel and hypocrisy. At the same time, he is arranging the incidents that would lead to the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kali Yuga is age of darkness. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun he illuminates all directions with knowledge and spiritual prosperity. And Maya is like darkness. Kali means the age of darkness. It means the age of godlessness. The time when people are most inclined to forget what is the purpose of life, who is God, and what is my relationship with God. At the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation in literary form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So simultaneously, by the cursing of Parikshit, the darkness of godlessness is about to advent, and the most brilliant, illustrious Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Godhead, is about to advent. In this, we can understand that it is oftentimes the obstacles, the reversals, the miseries that come upon us where we can find the highest realizations of the absolute truth of Krishna. What was a curse on Maharaj Parikshit became the greatest benediction of his life. Because he was a devotee. Because he turned to God. And what kind of devotee is Maharaj Parikshit is being described in this particular verse? Samyak Rishi was a great sage. Therefore, he understood very clearly what his son did and what the consequences would be. He could also understand very clearly who was a great Vaishnava. Samyak Rishi was sitting in meditation. Parikshit Maharaj, under the power of Yoga Maya, while he was out in the jungle in an excursion, he felt extremely hungry and thirsty. Therefore, he was victimized by the pressures, by the pushings of the body. So he went to Samyak Rishi's ashram. Here he is, the emperor of the world is coming to a Rishi's ashram. But Samyak Rishi was in his state of samadhi, so he did not even acknowledge the presence of the king. He was all alone, so there was no one to welcome the king. The king became angry. This is what happens when you become too much victimized by the senses. Yayato vishayam pungsang sangasteshu vijayate sangat sanchayate kama kama krodha vijayate krodha bhavati samohat samohat smriti vibrama smriti bramshat purinasho purinasha pranashate. Vicious cycle is described in Bhagavad Gita. When one contemplates the objects of the senses, one becomes attached to them. From such attachment comes lust. When lust is unfulfilled, one becomes angry. From anger, one becomes bewildered in memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down. One engages in abominable activities. So Parikshit Maharaj was a victim of the modes of material nature by the arrangement of the Lord. He was so hungry, he was so thirsty, even though he was a saintly king, a Rajarishi. He forgot all about controlling his senses. He forgot all about offering all respect to great Brahmins and sages. And he became a little angry. But it was just a little angry. He didn't do much. But he, with his end of his bow, he picked up a dead snake that happened to be laying there by the arrangement of the Lord. And he put it around Samyak Rishi's neck like a garland. Ah, great Rishi should be given garland. Here is your garland. He had that sarcastic mentality for a moment. And then he went away. And as he went away, immediately he regretted What did I do? What a crazy, stupid thing I did. Now, Samik Rishi, his son named Sringi, he heard what happened. He became so angry. He had no proper discrimination. He cursed Maharaj Pariksit, the king of the world, to die within 7 days by being bitten by a snake bird. Samik Rishi came out of his meditation. He saw the snake on him. He understood what happened. He took it off. Didn't mean anything to him. Then his son told him what he had done. Samik Rishi could see what this would bring about in the future. He was very, very brokenhearted and disturbed. Here, Maharaj Pariksit actually did not really commit much of an offense. Because a real offense is when it is done out of envy. When a person tries to destroy another due to envy and pride, that's a serious offense. But Maharaj Pariksit was not envious. He was not proud. He was just hungry and thirsty. And somehow or other, because of that, some anger came into his mind. So he was an innocent soul. If he was an envious, proud person and he put that snake on Samik Rishi, that would have been a major offense. But because he was simply victim of hunger and thirst and reacting toward that with no malice in his heart, therefore it wasn't really an offense at all. But Sringi, being foolish, he could not discriminate. He was like a fanatic. He just saw that my father has been offended. I must get revenge on this person. He had no discrimination. Therefore, he was the one who really committed the great offense. And Maharaj Pariksit, Samik Rishi, is thinking, he's such a great king. What's going to happen now? He's going to die. Without such a good ruler, the whole world is going to be plunged into darkness. Kali Yuga is going to come in and take control as the king of the world. Such a horrible thing, and it is due to the offense of my son. And he's thinking herein that if Maharaj Pariksit counter curses my son, that counter curse would be the reaction that will free him of his sin. But he understands that Maharaj Pariksit is a Vaishnav. He will never try to get revenge, no matter what anyone does to him. This is Vaishnav. Prabhupada is illustrating this in the purport as well, that this is the quality of a true devotee. Even though he is defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, he will never even be inclined toward avenge themselves. And in various cases, in Srila Prabhupada's books, he describes, this is a Vaishnava. A person who has no envy. A person who is not proud. A person is always thinking in terms of the good of another and not concerned with what happens to himself as far as the justices and injustices of the world. Tateinukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagam. The devotee thinks that whatever bad is coming upon me, I deserve worse. Therefore, with folded palms, I offer my obeisances to the Lord. The devotee is forgiving. Forgiving to any injustice that comes upon him. Nityananda Prabhu was smashed in the head by Madhai. And he had every intent to murder him. And when he saw that he was still living, he picked up another pot to smash him again. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came angry as fire to punish these wicked people. Nityananda Prabhu was weeping tears of compassion. He prayed, "My Lord, please forgive them. I am not unhappy. I'm not in any pain. And beside that, Jagai stopped Madhai from hitting me again." So he was seeing the good in them. And because of Nityananda Prabhu's forgiveness, he changed their hearts. And they became great, great Vaishnavas. Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto. Parasuram saw that his father, Jamadagni's Kamadenukar, was stolen by this king, Kartavirya-juna. Kartavirya-juna was very powerful. He was a devotee of Dattatreya, incarnation of the Lord. And by his worship of Dattatreya, he gained 1,000 arms. Very powerful. And he had all the 8 mystic siddhis. One day he was with some beautiful women near his city of Mahishmata, and there was the Narmada River. So he was trying to show off to his ladies or whatever. So he stopped the current of the Narmada River with his hands. So what happens when a river can't flow? It starts going backwards. And Ravana happened to be traveling around with his 10 heads. And he was camped out at a certain place upstream, and the whole place got flooded because the river was backing up. So he became very angry. "Who dares do this to me?" So he chastised Kartavirya-juna. And Kartavirya-juna was so powerful. With his hands, he just picked up Ravana and captured him like someone captures an insignificant monkey. Put him under arrest. And Ravana was totally humiliated. He was helpless. The Kartavirya-juna was so powerful. And just to further humiliate Ravana, Kartavirya-juna, like a little monkey, just threw him away and said, "You're free. Why should I bother with you? Go away." Very powerful man. So when he was traveling, he came to the ashram of Jamadagni. And Jamadagni, he wanted to greet Kartavirya-juna, who came with thousands of, he had 10,000 sons. This was in a previous yuga when men can do like this. 10,000 sons and many soldiers. So this great sage was so humble and so respectful. He wanted to serve them. But he's living as a Brahmin. What does he have? He had a Kamadenu cow. That cow could produce so much milk, it actually produced a whole feast for Kartavirya-juna and his soldiers and sons. So Kartavirya-juna, instead of being grateful, he became envious. He said to Jamadagni, "I'm the king, I want that cow. I don't have anything that compares to this cow. Give me cow." Jamadagni said, "I'm a Brahmin. I need this cow to perform my yajnas. He gives me nice ghee, so I like this cow, and she likes me, so you cannot have cow." So he sent his people to steal the cow and the calf. And the cow was crying for help, 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 help. And Parasuram, who was a very austere Brahmin, he decided, "Forget this Brahmin. This is unjust." So he put on he had his black deer skin and his matted hair, and he picked up a chopper, paras, and also some bows and arrows and a shield, and he attacked. And Kartavirya-juna, just as he was entering his city, he saw this effulgent personality attacking with weapons. So he sent all his armies. They were all destroyed. Parasuram was fighting so hard with his axe. Said he fought with the speed of the mind. And after some hours, he got tired and slowed down to the speed of the wind. And when no one was left, Kartavirya himself came out with his 1,000 arms to challenge. And he picked 500 bows and 500 arrows, which went to shoot them. And Parasaram, he just shot one arrow, and he shot some arrows, and it broke every one of those 500 bows to pieces. Then he took his axe and cut off all the 1,000 arms, and Kartavirya was just standing there like a massive mountain with no arms, and he chopped off his head. And the Kamadhenu cow and the calf were very happy to be released and brought back home. Jamadagni, what happened here? Parasaram told him what happened. He said, this is very bad. You are a Brahmin. He said, the first quality of a Brahmin, most important quality of a Brahmin, is forgiveness. The glory of the Brahminical caste is forgiveness. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport that different people in different positions or statuses of life, they are beautified by a certain quality. He said a woman is beautiful if she is chaste. That's what beautifies the quality of a woman. A grihastha is beautiful by his charity. A kshatriya is beautiful, made beautiful by his chivalry and heroism to protect the innocent. A vaishya, by protecting the cows, by growing grains, and by giving in charity to others. A shudra, by obedience and loyalty and faithfulness. And Prabhupada says, and a Brahman, by his forgiveness. Here Srila Prabhupada explained what it means to forgive. That it doesn't matter what injustice is inflicted upon oneself. If one actually is a Brahmin, if one is actually a Vaishnava, he will forgive. He will never seek revenge. If someone offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead or another Vaishnava, then a devotee should take action. But offenses against oneself, one should be forgiving. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on many occasions displayed this same quality in the role of a devotee. Ramchandra Puri came to Puri, and he was spreading all over Puri that Lord Chaitanya was bogus. Can you imagine? He's saying he's a sense enjoyer. He's not a real sannyasi. He overeats. He eats the wrong things at the wrong times. I have so much evidence. And he was presenting evidence. Look, there's ants on the floor. He's pretending to be austere, but actually he's secretly eating sweetmeats. He was concocting all lies and blaspheming Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the devotees were so upset, but Lord Chaitanya said, no, no. Whenever Ramchandra Puri would come, Lord Chaitanya would offer obeisances to him. And he told the devotees, he is like my father. He's helping me in my Krishna consciousness. So he offered them all respect. He forgave him. So this is the quality of a great soul. And Swami Krishi understood that this is the quality of Maharaj Parikshit. My son is in trouble because he offended such a great Vaishnava. If he offended someone less, then that person would counter-curse him and get revenge. And then my son would get some atonement for his offense, because he would get the reaction instantly. But this is very dangerous, because Parikshit Maharaj will never avenge an offender to him.
He's a humble devotee. Therefore, Samyak Rishi is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to please, you know, help deliver his son from this great offense. Sringi was a Brahmin. And because he was a Brahmin at that time, this was in the before the dawn of the Kali Yuga, he had Brahminical powers, which included the power to curse. But he had no proper discrimination. He was actually envious and angry for no good reason. If he had proper discrimination, he would have thought that actually this person may have offended my father, but he didn't do it with wrong intent. He was overcome by thirst, and people act crazy when they're overcome by hunger and thirst. So really, he should be forgiven. He should have seen like that. But he was fanatical. He didn't see the truth behind it. He just saw, he has made an offense, he must die. This is a great danger with religious fanaticism. Prabhupada explained, philosophy and religion must be together. Religion without philosophy, without the proper intellectual capacity to discriminate, that is what philosophy gives you. It can become either sentimentalism or fanaticism. So this boy was a fanatic. And he simply reacted. And what is that fanaticism born of? False ego. He's thinking, I'm Brahman. I'm great. My father, he's great. He's offended, must be avenged. So his cursing was actually an extent of his own false ego and his own immature recklessness. And actually, this is religious history. Even a good religion with a good philosophy, when it is in the hands of immature people, those immature people become fanatical, and then they don't have proper discrimination. And then they ultimately commit offenses to others. And what is the result of those offenses? Everyone suffers. This is Sringi. But Samyak Rishi, he's lamenting piteously in the core of his heart for the actions of his son. And Samyak Rishi completely forgives Maharaj Parikshit for whatever he has done. Meanwhile, Maharaj Parikshit, when the news came to him, he was cursed to die in 7 days. He wasn't like Sringi. He didn't all of a sudden start counter-cursing and saying, it's not fair, I was thirsty, I wasn't really envious, this is not a proper curse for me. Such a Vaishnav. The worst possible injustice for no good reason at all came upon him. And with folded palms and a heart full of gratitude, he thanked Krishna. Thank you. This is what I deserve. I will not seek revenge. I will seek Krishna. He went to the bank of the Ganges, taking wholehearted shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a great soul. When any type of infliction, confrontation comes upon a devotee, a devotee takes shelter of the Lord with a grateful heart. And according to Lord Brahma in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Only a person who is willing and able to do that is actually a candidate for real liberation.
And in this particular verse, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when Bhagavatam says muktipada,
that means liberation in Srimad Bhagavatam is referring to pure unalloyed devotional service. It is the essence, the highest perfection of liberation.
So through this beautiful story, there's so much essential wisdom to be learned.
We have to learn from Sringi, and we have what not to be, and we have to learn from Maharaj Parikshit what we should be striving to be.
And Samik Rishi, he's right in between the two, and he's explaining everything perfectly for our understanding.
This is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It is Kali Yuga.
There is no possibility of any real type of unity or any type of congenial relationship surviving unless there is the quality of forgiveness.
Because just by the nature of the age, willingly or unwillingly, people make big or little offenses toward each other.
And sometimes the offenses seem serious, but sometimes people are victims of circumstances, and they act not because they're really so envious, but they act because they're either fearful or they're under certain types of social pressures or their just mind comes out of control. In Kali Yuga, the circumstances of the environment are permeated with the influence of quarrel and hypocrisy. Every atomic particle in Kali Yuga is surcharged with the influence of quarrel and hypocrisy. How could there be unity? How could there be love? How could there be trust where there is quarrel and hypocrisy?
Therefore, devotees must be very understanding. They must be very forgiving. And if devotees are forgiving to one another, even though there were devotees who committed terrible aparadhas against Srila Prabhupada directly, but he forgave them. And as soon as they came back, you know, after they learned their lesson by being crushed by Maya, they came back to Srila Prabhupada and immediately he embraced them with tears in his eyes. One instance, a person really, really offended Prabhupada very bad. And Prabhupada, you know, when that person came back, Prabhupada was weeping and embraced him and said, "Every day I was praying to Krishna to send you back." That is Vaishnav.
So, if we want to have a satsang of devotees survive the influences of Kali, we have to learn to forgive, learn our lessons, and move to the future. We can't just live in the past. Jagai and Madhai, what offenses they committed! They were murderers, they were thieves. They killed Brahmins, they ate meat, they slaughtered the animals with their own hands, they were drunkards, they would burn people's houses daily, they would rape women, they would beat old people, they were really offensive. But when they took the proper means of chanting the holy name, and they understood their faults, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees, "It is a great offense for any of you to think of Jagai and Madhai as being sinners." Because now they're devotees. And just to prove it to everyone, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am now going to take all the previous sins of all the previous lives of Jagai and Madhai in my own body
just so you know for sure that they're clean. Then his body became black. Gaur Sundar became Shyam Sundar. He was from beautiful golden complexion, became black with the sins of Jagai and Madai. The devotees were amazed to see this transformation. The Lord said, "How do I appear to you in this form?" And Advaita Prabhu, he laughed and said, "You look just like Krishna of Vrindavan." And then the Lord said, "Now everybody have kirtan. Your Harinam kirtan will drive away all the sins in my body." And he said, "And where will those sins go?" "All the sins of Jagai and Madhai will go into the heart of whoever offends Vaishnavas." Hare Krishna. And then they had kirtan. And Mahaprabhu was dancing, and Jagai and Madhai were dancing. Everyone was dancing. They became one family. And Mahaprabhu's body gradually restored its beautiful golden complexion again. So we have to learn to see in a progressive way how the path of bhakti is meant to replace the negative with the positive. And Prabhupada said, "United we stand, divided we fall." He said, if you want to show your love for me, you cooperate together in helping me in my mission to my Guru Maharaj. He gave the example of sticks. One stick can easily be broken, but if the sticks are tied together, many, nothing can break it. He said, unity is our strength. Yesterday I heard a tape of Srila Prabhupada lecture. He was talking about one famous yogi who was teaching silent meditation. Prabhupada said, "Silent meditation, you can't do it in the big cities. According to Gita, according to Patanjali, according to all the yogic scriptures, if you want to do silent meditation, you have to go to a secluded place and be all alone." He said, "What is this group meditation? This is not in any shastra." He said, "The only facility in the shastras for group meditation is bhakti, sankirtan. Sankirtan means together you glorify God. The Ashtanga yoga system means you go off alone to a secluded place." So Prabhupada was explaining how bhakti means unity. And he explained, unity is our strength. But how to sustain unity? Prabhupada said, the oil that will keep the wheels of the Krishna consciousness movement going is love and trust. Love and trust in Kali Yuga? Very difficult. Because we'll all make various types of offenses against each other. Mistakes. Clashing of egos. Therefore, devotees have to be very forgiving. Devotees have to be very much willing to put aside their own agendas for the sake of the common cause of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, there will simply be fighting, there will simply be divisions. And Prabhupada, that was one of his most significant warnings that he would continuously remind us. We should not divide. We should remain united. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He wanted unity on the basis of purity. If we're really taking shelter of the holy names, if we're really developing the higher taste of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, if we're really absorbed in the process of devotional service, then we'll rise above.
the ego, will take shelter of Krishna when difficulties come. We will not fight amongst one another. We will not try to avenge one another. We will not try to outdo one another in an egoistic way. Actually, the meaning of das, 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 anu das is if you're humble, if you're really humble, then you won't think anyone could possibly offend you. You'll think, I deserve worse. Madhai became so humble. Madhai, after being delivered by Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he was forgiven, he became forgiving. This is the nature of Vaishnava. To come to Krishna consciousness, how many sins have we been forgiven for? One time they asked Prabhupada, how can we best serve you? He said, what I have done for you, you do it for others. He forgave us. Krishna forgave us. So how we should be forgiven. So Madhai was in that attitude. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was approached by Madhai and he was weeping and crying. He was saying, I committed so many aparads to so many people. I don't know what to do. I want to fall at everyone's lotus feet and beg forgiveness and serve them for the rest of my life. But I offended people in such drunken states, I don't even know who I offended. He said, you build a bathing ghat with your own hands. And you keep it clean and serve and offer your obeisances and apologies to every single person who comes to that bathing ghat. You be their menial servant. He said, but what about you? I smashed you on the head, made you bleed. You're the supreme personality of Godhead. Even the greatest demons of the Shastras never did that to you. Nityananda Prabhu said, you are just like a little child. If a little baby kicks the mother doesn't mind. That's how I take your offenses. It's not an offense. You are forgiven. So Madhai went and built that ghat, and every single person that would come with tears in his eyes, he would beg for forgiveness. And everyone forgave him because of his humility. But some people, they were so angry because he killed their mothers or he killed their children, they picked up a rock and just threw it right at his head. And Madhai didn't say, I'm a Vaishnav, you can't do that to me. The Lord personally embraced me. His body turned black. I'm free of sins. You can't do that to me. This is Vaishnava Parad. He didn't do like that. You know what he would do? He would pick up the stone with tears of love in his eyes, give it back to the person and said, please throw it again. I deserve worse. That was the mentality. That was the transformation. That is Vaishnava. And we must, if we want to actually have a united, powerful society, we have to understand this is a very important, significant aspect of being das, 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 anu das. Servant of the servant of the servant. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishmana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Humble like straw in the street. Tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. In this way, individually and collectively, we can actually glorify Krishna when we chant his holy name. And we can have a great, great impact on the whole planet. Prabhupada said if our devotees were actually really united with faith, we could change the whole world and make it Krishna conscious. But we become so caught up, hung up, and contaminated by all little different reasons to fight, to quarrel.
For what? What is the use? Nothing is gained, ultimately. The mission of the Lord is compromised. But if we're humble, if we're forgiving, then Krishna will empower us, as he empowered Maharaj Parikshit. Is there any questions or comments? Devaki Nandan Prabhu. The sloka is, the devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. My understanding is he did not know that Parikshit Maharaj came. He was absorbed in samadhi, therefore he was not aware of any of the external circumstances. He was deeply absorbed within. But when he came out of his samadhi and his son told him what had been done, he took off the snake, then because of his advanced spiritual position, he understood exactly what would be the consequences of this. And he could actually understand also that it was a very, very minor, insignificant offense of Parikshit Maharaj. He could understand the king was not envious. He was simply victimized by the modes of nature temporarily. Therefore, he should not be held at fault for what he has done. So if he certainly would have got up and greeted him, but he was totally unaware. But when he was made aware, he could understand everything very, very clearly. Yes, Prabhu. Can you be more explicit? Not with names or anything, but...
Preaching movement.
just as Lord Chaitanya, he took action against Jagai and Madai. Actually, in that instance, it's very beautiful how Vrindavan Das Thakur explains. Madhai hit Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was just weeping, saying, "Please just take the name." And Madhai was so angry, he was about to hit him again. But Jagai's heart changed by seeing Nityananda Prabhu's forgiveness and humility, and his love and compassion. So Jagai told Madhai, "This man is a great saint, you can't do this." So he stopped him from hitting him again. And at that moment, Lord Chaitanya appeared. And he was about to kill both of them with his Sudarshan Chakra. And Nityananda Prabhu prayed, "I am not unhappy. Please forgive them. Jagai saved my life." He was glorifying them. So Lord Chaitanya immediately became blissful and embraced Jagai, showed him this four-armed form of Narayan, and completely and said, "I will give you the benediction of pure unalloyed love of Krishna." Meanwhile, Madhai, he saw what was going on, and his heart changed. And he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "Please give me love of Krishna too. Please forgive me too." And Lord Nityananda turned to him with great anger and said, "No, you offended Nityananda Prabhu." The Lord said, and then Madhai said, "But you have delivered so many terrible demons in the past. Why won't you deliver me? So many demons have inflicted pain on you and attacked you and fought with you." He said, "Yes, that is true, and I have delivered them because they did it to me. But Nityananda Prabhu's body is more dear to me than my own. If you make an offense to me, I can forgive you, but if you make offense to him, I cannot forgive you. Only he could forgive you. If you fall at his feet and he forgives you, then you can be forgiven." So, Srila Prabhupada, you explained, he was also in this mood. Offenses against himself, he was forgiving. But he saw if someone was offending, seriously offending the mission of his Guru Maharaj, or if someone was offending the faith of his disciples, then he would sometimes take strong action. But it wasn't, he never took action to avenge anyone. We never saw that in Prabhupada. He never avenged anyone. Even when there were instances where some people, they actually really tried to disturb his movement. He never avenged them. He just protected his devotees from them. He never tried to inflict any harm on them. He never tried to discredit them unnecessarily. He just tried to protect his devotees. There was never a revengeful spirit. So to maintain the standards of our society and like that, sometimes we have to fight. But it should not be in a revengeful spirit. And if we even have to fight, it should be for the sake of Krishna, for the sake of Guru, and for the sake of the mission. But for ourselves, if anything comes upon ourselves personally, what is explained here, if we're defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, we should be tolerant, we should be forgiving. Does that answer your question? Actually? Thank you. Is there any other question? I think we should end here. It's over time. Please forgive me if I made any offenses during this. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.